It's been great. You know, Naomi's preached three fantastic messages, and I was able to bring in the story of Jesus of Nazareth and the grace and mercy that God, that was shown to us, that we can in turn show to people as we live our lives every day. How many of you lived a little bit more gracefully and mercifully this week? Let me tell you, I had lots of opportunities to apply what I taught. And I had to remind myself quite often, oops, I need to be more gracious, especially when you drive around on the streets of Mumbai.
Yes,
there is opportunity every 30 seconds to be more gracious and unmerciful as well. But this morning I'm drawing my theme from the Shawshank Redemption, the movie. But it's an interesting movie. It's an exciting plot of how a man who is wrongly convicted ends up in prison, gets two life sentences. And whilst in prison, he learns to make the best of his very difficult situation as he meets a very knowledgeable and wise person, and how he redeems his life even though he is locked up in a cell. And this is what one of the critics said. It's about the movie. It said, two imprisoned men bond over a number of years, finding solace and eventual redemption through acts of common decency. And so somebody else said, it's the story of how a body can be locked away in a cell, but the spirit can never be truly imprisoned. And you know, sometimes in life we all face challenging and traumatic experiences, and we all do sometimes things that we wish we hadn't done. We all end up with just what happens in life. But I want to remind us today about the redemptive nature of our God. At the very core of His being is a grace and merciful God, and His grace and mercy is to bring us back to where He wants us to be. Amen? To redeem us from whatever circumstance or situation we might find ourselves in, from our past, from our present, and whatever might happen in the future. I want you to remember this, that God is a redeeming God. Can everyone say that? God is a redeeming God. And it is so easy for us sometimes to lose sight of the power of redemption that is at work in our lives almost every day. Times that we almost forget that it is. And I want to remind us as we look at the story of David and how God restores through a very simple person, a very notable person in the Bible, a very influential person in the Bible, a person who was just like you and me, who experienced great times of intimacy with God, but also did some really foolish things. And the consequence of those foolish things he had to live through and carry in his life. But even though those things happened to him, and even though he experienced and did foolish things, God always redeemed even the worst of the situations and circumstances, so that there was glory to God and God was able to fulfill His purposes through David. God never gives up working on you. God never gives up believing that He can work through you. Do you believe that? Can you believe that? Will you hold that close to your heart as we go through this morning? And I want to pick up the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I'm going to read from verses 15 to 17. Verses 15 to 20. And Nathan had gone home. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent the night lying on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused. He was grieving for the loss of this child. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, we spoke to David and he would not listen to us. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed, the Bible says, that his servants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. And he asked the question, is the child dead? He asked. They replied, yes, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went in the house of the Lord and he worshipped. It's such a dramatic picture of someone who has gone through extreme loss, has endured so much pain, and is in grief. And society, the people around it, expected him to continue grieving in that depth of sorrow. But David does something that is something that we can learn of the redemptive nature of God, even in our most difficult circumstances. That if we can learn to do, like Kriti was talking earlier about, turning to God, as David did. He turned to God. It says he got up. He repositioned himself. He dressed up. He prepared himself. And he went to worship God. Now in those days, they would go to a physical place to experience God and to worship Him. And we know that he goes to the temple of God, he begins to worship God. And in that moment of redemption, in that moment of worship, we see the redemptive nature of God working in and through David's life. Do you believe that God can redeem the most craziest circumstances of your life? Do you redeem that God? Do you believe that God's redemptive power and nature is still at work on this planet? Sometimes it's hard for us to say yes because everything seems to be working against us. David was a purposed man. David was a man that had fought lions and bears and had come very close to God, had a strong relationship with God. But we see at a time when he should have been focusing on the purpose of God, his eyesight, his attention moves to a beautiful young lady, and he is drawn and attracted to her. And in doing that, he moves away from his purpose, and he enters into a relationship with Bathsheba, and they sleep together, and he now has a child as a result of that relationship. Because of that one act of sin, I'm sure David did many other sins, but because of that act of sin that we know of and we can learn from, as a consequence of that sin, David kills people, he lies, he cheats, he does so many different things. And what we fail to realize is that whilst God has the power to forgive you of your sin, never forget that you and I carry the consequence of our acts of sin. You with me? Oh, you don't like that? God has the power to forgive you of any sin that you will ever commit in this. Think of the most heinous thing an individual can do. God can forgive you and will forgive you. But the consequence for that remains with you. Therefore, we need to understand in our lives, in our relationships with God, that there is always a consequence for this, for our sin. And the Word of God reminds us that the consequence of sin is death. Here in the book of Romans, referring to eternal separation from God. But I also want to bring about how sin brings death into our relationships. It brings death into our circumstances. It brings death into our finances. When there is sin in relationship to anything in our lives. And it is our responsibility to deal with our sin. And to come to a God who is loving and gracious and merciful. And know that He will forgive you of your sin. And give you the strength to overcome. Isn't that good? Amen. That is the redemptive nature of God. Now, let's ask a very simple question. Why do you sin? Why do we sin?
We want to sin.
You want to sin. And why do you want to sin?
I enjoy it.
You enjoy it, correct. The reason why we sin is not some big devil sitting behind you on your shoulder saying, go on, do it. It's just the very nature of you that there is that momentary pleasure, joy, anger. When you get angry, there's that moment fulfillment that you got back at somebody. If it is sexual sin, there's a moment of pleasure, of heightened pleasure. If it is any other kind of wrongful thinking or attitudes, it's that pleasure that we receive that seems to satisfy and make the flesh man very happy. You won the argument, you won the battle. But after you've achieved that comes the consequence of whatever it was. Whoops, I don't have any friends anymore. Whoops, oh my goodness, I'm in a big hole here, and how do I get myself out of it? There is always the consequence, isn't there? But do you know what? God can forgive you of your sin, but He can also give you the strength to overcome your sin. That is the redemptive nature of our God. And so, as long as we keep our focus in on Jesus Christ, as long as we keep our focus on God, even though sometimes we are tempted and we might give in to temptation, the redemptive power and nature of God can work in our lives if we always come back to Him. God cannot redeem people who do not return to Him. With that. God cannot redeem the people who do not return to Him. And there is always upon each one of His children, there is that mark of His Spirit upon our lives. And no matter how far we go, no matter how distant we become, there is that holy connection that we have back to the very presence of God. And if we can take hold of that single link that we have, which is the blood of Jesus, and just hold on to that and come back and return to God, we experience the redemption of God in our life or in that circumstance or situation. So when I return to God, I can be redeemed. Isn't that wonderful? Which is why when we began here at Life, part of our goal was to find those people in the city who had, for whatever reason, moved away from God. And let me tell you right now, there are thousands of them at home.
In Andheri.
In Andheri, in where you live, that at some point have experienced God, have walked with Him, and something has happened that has caused them to turn away from God. And I believe for us at here at Life and Andheri, one of our responsibilities is through prayer and however God works, it is to find these people and to help them to return to God and to experience the redemptive nature and redeeming of God of their lives. Amen. Wouldn't you like to be part of someone's story? Wouldn't you like to know that you could be praying for somebody who is distance themselves from God for whatever reason? The reason is not a reason for us to reject them. Whatever the reason is, we must accept them. Love them back into that place where they can experience God and His redeeming power. We see in the midst of the turmoil of David's life, we see the grace of God in operation. Why? Because God knew that there was purpose on David's life. God knew that whatever stupid things David might do, whatever sin David might commit, that God's purpose could not be nullified or voided by his sin, provided he returned to God. Amen. And I want to encourage each one of us as we journey to know that and to be certain of that. It's in the crises of our life that we must learn to draw near to God rather than to run from Him. And again, referring to what Tripti said so beautifully, said, if we come to God in our emptiness, He loves emptiness because then He can fill us. Amen. It's when we come to God in all humility and say, God, I am struggling. God, I can't make it through. God, nothing's working for me. That's when you begin to see the power of God beginning to work in you. Sometimes God allows crises in our lives as an opportunity to draw us nearer to Him. What determines whether we draw near to Him or not is the condition of our hearts. I want to encourage you, and we all experience horrible things in life. Keep a short account with God. Forgive people who have hurt you. Let go of past hurts and anger and bitterness. No matter how terrible or horrible it is, just choose to forgive. Because in that forgiveness, you bring life. You bring life to yourself, and you bring life to the person who does not deserve to be forgiven. Why? Because when you release yourself by forgiving and letting go of a hurt, an offense, or whatever it is, you bring life right back into your circumstance and situation. And you bring life into that relationship. Amen. Now, whether that person takes hold of that moment of that seed of life is not your responsibility. But it is for us to hold out that olive branch. It is for us to, even though there are flooded waters, to say, hey, there's hope here. There is the figure of speech, an olive branch that we hold out to people. Amen. Have we been disappointed by people that we've had expectations of? Yes. Have you been disappointed? Yes. But do you build a blockade or do you hold out an olive branch? I encourage you, hold out an olive branch. It frees you to grow and it frees the individual to come back. Amen. Amen. So, what can we learn from David's story? We learn this. David, in his most traumatic experience, turns to worship God. Now, let's get a clear understanding of worship, which I believe the church of today has kind of repackaged it for us. And I want to dismantle that a little bit. Worship isn't about waving your hands on a Sunday morning. Worship isn't about dancing and jumping, even though the Bible encourages us to dance and jump. Worship is not about trying to impress God, because He is not impressed by what the clanging cymbals, as it were. Worship is when He sees our need for Him, our emptiness, and we come to Him and say, God, there is no one greater than You. God, I need You. God, here I am. Not God, how great I am, Thou art great as well. Not great, God, how humble I am. Here I am in all humility with my hands raised up. Worship is not just about the experience of a Sunday morning, although those can be very powerful moments and times. But worship is a lifestyle. It is about living a life of constant dependency on God, where God is worthy. God is above all. God is the only one. He is the great one. Amen. And you submit and succumb to that. As Psalm 42 verse 7 says, deep calls to deep. What is your relationship on a one-to-one basis like with God? I've learned not to see, not to watch what people do in the public domain. Because all of us are great performers. Come on. All of us, me included. We are all great performers and we can perform to the audience depending what the audience is. We have learned to be great performers. But really, our true performance is our one-to-one with God, where He sees the inner workings of our hearts. He understands the inner motives of our mind. And He will judge us and He will lead and guide us according to that. And I want us to find ourselves placing ourselves before God in humility. Not, God, I am totally useless. No, but that You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That You are a child of God. You're a son and a daughter of God. And because You are, You can go before this Almighty God just as You are. And know that He will love You and accept you no matter what you are going through. Amen. And He will empower you to overcome. David had an amazing and intimate relationship with God that went beyond anything that anyone had ever experienced, because he had come to those places of surrender in his life. And I want to encourage us to learn to surrender to God. David's success of his life must not be measured by his conquest. Instead, by his moments and times of total surrender to God. And we see here David, a king who experienced trauma, does not go to battle, but he goes to worship. Amen. Sometimes when we're going through difficult times, we go to battle. We get angry with everybody and anything around us. We kick the cat, the dog, the fish, anything that we can find, because you are just so upset with all that's happening with you. But we are spending our emotion, our intellect, our energy in a place that does not redeem us. Whereas if in those moments, if you can turn to God, what you experience is redemption. Amen. What you experience is God dragging you back from whatever craziness you find yourself in and restoring you, just like God did for David. Something dynamic happens when we worship in our times of deepest pain and crisis. We must offer our lives as a living sacrifice to God. Our act of worship becomes an expression of our entire life. God requires obedience and not sacrifice. So many of us are prepared to sacrifice but not obey. Let me say that again. So many of us are prepared to sacrifice but not obey. What God responds to is a heart that is obedient. You can say, God, I'm going to give You all my money. But if you don't obey Him, no matter how much money you give, you don't never get God's attention. You can give all of your time, but if you're not being obedient to God, you don't get His attention. And when you don't get His attention, you don't get His reward. Come on. So you say, but God, I'm making so many sacrifices. Thank You for the sacrifices, but what I asked You was to be obedient. I asked You to go from here to there. You are still here, giving away your money. Foolish man. You just needed to obey Me. You could have kept the money. Why do we sacrifice? Because we believe we can manipulate God. We believe if I give, God is indebted to give back to me. It's when you obey, God will reward you. Amen. When you obey. When you obey. David obeyed the Lord. Which is why God was able to work with David. Which is why God was able to do what? Establish His presence on the then known world. To build a holy place where He could be with His people. Amen. The Shekinah glory of God came down as David helped to build the temple. Isn't that amazing? He was not a perfect man, but he was a man whose heart was turned towards God. He was a man that understood the grace and the mercy of God. He was a man that knew in his most deepest moments not to go to battle, but to go to worship and to find God in those moments. So I want to give you five simple things that you can learn to do to make our decisions more Christ-centered. One, like David, he awakened his spirit. He didn't allow his spirit to get lost in a sea of grief. It is not wrong to grieve. We must all grieve. God grieves. But in our grief, we must rise up. And David did that. He repositioned himself. I was listening to some leadership advice from a naval officer today. And he was speaking to some youngsters. And he said, the first thing that you need to learn to do is to make your bed every day. Don't look at anybody. Make your bed every day. Why? Because when you're faithful in the little, you will be faithful in the much. I hated my mother reminding me to make my bed, but I thank God she built in me that discipline to make my bed. Because no matter how hard my day is, I can return to a nice, clean bed. That's the first task. Make your bed. Brush your teeth. It's those simple things that bring discipline and help us to reposition ourselves. Do you ever wake up in the morning wishing you could stay in a bit longer? Every day. Do you know what? As soon as you get up, make your bed. You're not going to mess it up. You're going to have to make it again. Little leadership lesson. Repositioning himself, he is able to refocus. He changes his attire. The Bible says that he put lotion on himself instead of ashes and grieving clothes. He dressed up. And no matter what pain we go through, it's good to dress up. It's good to put a nice clean shirt on, to brush the hair. If it's ladies, a little bit of extra makeup. Even extra makeup if you're feeling even more sad. Just to do that. It changes our mindset. And we see that he goes before God. When you reposition yourself and you turn to God, you receive the redemptive work of God in your life. What's amazing with David, we know him to be a passionate worshiper. And I believe for us to experience the redemption of God in our lives, if we, like David, can become passionate worshipers of Jesus Christ, we will always have the opportunity and give God the opportunity to do what only he can do in our lives. Because to be a passionate worshiper, I have to be surrendered. And when I'm surrendered, God can do what he needs to do. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you that you are a redeeming God. That you are always waiting, willing, and ever ready to bring us back to the place that we need to be at. To bring us back into that place of grace. To bring us back into that place of purpose. To bring us back into that place of focus. Lord, I pray this morning, forgive each one of us wherever we are in our journey with you today. Whatever the challenges this week has brought, today, Lord, we want to return to you. We want to return to you in obedience so as we can experience your redemption and receive your reward. And Lord, as we come to the communion table this morning, we come in faith and we come to worship you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.